I'm Zack Snyder.
And I'm Aiden Matthews.
And welcome to another YouTube podcast, the one-stop shop for everything and anything related to YouTube.
We are at episode one.
It's official.
We did it.
We did it.
We got out of the zero, and now we're moving up to an actual number.
Exactly.
Right.
So we're going to start off every single episode from this point onwards by talking about our week on YouTube.
Yeah. Should be pretty tight. We spent the last podcast, the first segment was introductions. Mm-hmm. But since we can't literally introduce ourselves in every single podcast, you know, we thought it might be a better idea to just sort of give what's going on in our lives because, hey, we do YouTube.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Daily uploads. I mean, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
So, I guess, do you want to start?
You can go ahead and start.
All right, I'll go ahead and start. So, I actually had a fairly decent week for the most part. My four videos that I've put out have done well. Nice. 47 views for the questions on the couch, 52 for the midnight vlog, 17 for the Let's Play episode, yay Let's Plays, and 21 for the midnight vlogs that came out today about why I hate remakes. And that one already has 21 views in 10 hours, so that one's good as well. Was also, in the midst of all these positive vibes, you know, I was shouting people out, I was talking to people on Twitter, building connections, getting views, having a good time. But then, I notice, when I go over to my magical little creator studio and check on the video manager, oh, what's this? It's a yellow little monetization circle. And then I inspect closer, I give it a closer look. And in text at the bottom, not suitable for all advertisers. Request a review? I've been hit.
Oh, boy.
They hit my battleship. My battleship has sunk.
Which is crazy because you're a smaller YouTuber and they still hit you, which is interesting.
Exactly. I guess a little bit of context behind this. YouTube and the adpocalypse and all this ad shenanigan scenarios, they've been trying to find ways, YouTube has been trying to find ways to sort of correct itself. And one of the ways it's tried to do so is by having little things like this, where if YouTube finds a video that's not suitable for advertisers, it will automatically take the monetization off for it, so they can go up to companies and be like, hey, look, this awful video won't have your ads on it. Look at us. We're trying. We're YouTube. Whatever. But, like everything else YouTube does, it's bot run. So if a bot finds one little inch or it manages to pick up a not-so-family-friendly part of your video, bam, instantly demonetized. And here's the thing. You can request a review to get it off, but you have to have 1,000 views on the video within 7 days. And so, because I'm a small channel, because I don't make 1,000 views until like a month in, or maybe several months, depending.
Right.
There ain't no way this video is going to get 1,000 views. There ain't no way this thing's going to be reviewed. So pretty much, in the span of a couple of days, this video, Questions on the Couch, Episode 11, the DK rap, went from being a money-making good video with 47 views that did super well, and then late last night, immediately just been like, oh hey, no money on it anymore, you're not getting it back, it's gone now. And that shit sucks. Sucks a lot. Because, again, how are you supposed to fight this if you're smaller? How are you supposed to get the views required for YouTube to actually look at it? How do you know they're even tracking the right videos? How do you even know that the video that you had was advertiser friendly or not? I mean, they give you some guidelines, but they're so like loose, and really it's just up to interpretation on how you want to view them. And I've seen other channels get hit with this large scale, bigger YouTubers, people like Lazy Game Reviews and such, where just all of their videos all of a sudden get hit with it. And keep in mind, most of these channels don't swear. There isn't advertiser, you know, they're not evil to advertisers. There's not a bunch of swear words, there's not gore, there's not nudity or anything like that. Right. These are pretty tame and good videos, and all of them get hit at once. So imagine my scenario on a larger scale with the YouTuber who makes all their money through ads, with people who rely on their videos to do well consistently. And then it just gets into an even worse scenario where you're like, okay, now you have to start relying on Patreon and now you have to start relying on merch. But for some people, this might be it for them. This might be a death blow. They might never come back. And if YouTube fixes it, it might be too late. You know? Once the damage is done, it's done.
It sucks. It sucks a lot. And it's hitting, like you said, it's hitting a lot of different people all over the place. I saw a tweet from Boogie2988 earlier, one of the bigger YouTubers. He's at like 4 million subs now. And he posted another picture of... And he got hit early on when all this new advertiser-friendly stuff was happening. He was getting, like, almost all of his videos just started getting hit. And now he's got another few of them that were hit earlier today. So it's... I guess they're making rounds again.
Right.
Which is,
and to my knowledge, it's just another algorithm thing that they're adding. Mm-hmm. It's just a thing that they're trying to do to make it look to advertisers like YouTube's trying.
Yeah.
But in the process, it's managing to hurt a lot more people. The people that built the platform, the creators, the people who put out the content, the videos. If you're doing it, this is a huge blow to your incentive, to your drive, to your morality, to even continue.
Yeah.
If you get hit hard enough, if you're not able to contact YouTube, if your videos don't have 1,000 views, right? Like, there's just so little room to get your problem actually fixed. And granted, YouTube can't do it all by itself, I don't think. With how many videos are being uploaded, like, a second, there ain't no way they're going to be able to monitor every single one. So they have to rely on bots. But man, this algorithm is hurting people.
Yeah.
Badly.
It sucks. There's another YouTuber named Comic Drake. He's been on YouTube for about 2 years now. He's done a couple of things with Game Theory in the past. He's been on Screw Attack, done a couple of things all over the place. But he's only at 122,000 subscribers, which is still like fairly small, right? And in the whole grand scheme of things. And he put up a video a few months ago in this whole entire non-advertiser friendly thing that was coming out was becoming a thing, saying that he doesn't know if he's even going to be able to like continue doing YouTube because, you know, it was hitting him big time. Like a lot of his videos were getting hit, and he, you know, he has another job, or he did have another job, and then he quit it to do YouTube, and he was doing well and he was able to make the money, but he didn't have any of those other like sources of income to come in. So it's one of those things where he had to really start doubling down and making sure he had the daily uploads and get the Patreon and stuff like that. So it's crazy.
Sure. Just to let you guys know, here on YouTube's help page is quote unquote content that is not eligible for advertising. So if your video has any of these following things, chances are it's going to be hit by this algorithm. And your video will be demonetized, and you'll have to request a review and wait upwards of a couple of weeks, if not a month, to hope that it gets fixed. Anyway, here are the things. This is non-advertiser-friendly content. Controversial issues and sensitive events. Drugs and dangerous products or substances. Harmful or dangerous acts. Hateful content, inappropriate language, inappropriate use of family entertainment characters. That one's just like specific.
You know what that one's, you know that one targets, right?
Those little kid channels with like the Spider-Man,
the Spider-Man and Elsa videos. Yeah, that's exactly what it targets.
I'm all for that one. Okay. Incendiary and demeaning, sexually suggestive content, and violence. And some of these, like, I don't have a problem with.
Right.
Like, sexually suggestive stuff, sure. Violence, sure. You know, freaking hate speech, fine. Drugs, really don't need weed videos on YouTube. I'm fine with that. But controversial issues and sensitive events?
Mm-hmm.
Inappropriate language? Demeaning? Demeaning to who? Who are we referring to? Whose standards are these?
Even
there's
then,
billions
though,
of ways to interpret that.
Well, here's the problem. Even then, though, you're talking about the sexually suggestive stuff and the violent stuff. And the YouTube has stated before, if your video is a Call of Duty death montage and that's all it is, like, it's not going to be advertiser friendly.
Because
of
word
violence.
Death in it?
Because of death and because of violence. And then comedians get hit with the language thing all the time. And sexually suggestive stuff, like, I think if it's not nudity, it should be fine. But even then, there's boundaries that, that they don't want to take.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I mean, like, the majority of YouTube content falls into one of these five little things, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It falls into these little things. So the majority of them, you would think, would be hit by this thing and by that bot, and a lot of them are. Because these things are too loose. They're not specific. And sure, they give you paragraphs trying to like detail it out a little bit, but really only YouTube knows for sure which videos are going to get hit by it, you know?
Right.
Like, only they're going to know which ones are going to be targeted for sure. And sometimes if the bot's too advanced for them, they might not even know what's getting hit.
I mean, yeah, the entire YouTube algorithm is so obscure and out there that there's multiple people working on it. So even a couple of the people working on it doesn't even know exactly everything that it does or exactly how everything works. So it's really weird.
Yeah. I hope I did a good enough job explaining it, because I'm not sure. The little yellow monetization circle that I'm referring to is the one that says limited or no ads, basically. Right. And it hits a bunch of YouTubers, and it seems to be absolutely random. Mm-hmm. And if it happens, you have to send a review, and then they'll review it if it has 1,000 views. So That's sort of the deal. It hit me with only one video, thankfully only one video. But according to what Darklight Dreamer was saying, like, that'll end up ruining your video's search as well. Like, it's not going to be seen by a lot more people now because of that.
Well,
like, YouTube will rank it down.
It was kind of in the news lately, as of this like past week or so, that YouTube is also hammering down even more so into the advertiser friendly type stuff, to where they're targeting specifically like hate speech videos, and then any kind of videos that have like very controversial topics. And they're blacklisting those YouTube channels to where you can't really find them in search. You won't be recommended them. They're even going as far in Google to where if you type in something like, this is extremely controversial. If you type in something like ISIS or even like Muslim, instead of the top search things that come up, which, I mean, if you go and type those things now, it's going to be a lot of the hate speech regarded against them or a lot of their own videos. But now you type in ISIS or something like that, and the search result becomes something like a group of Muslims talking about how ISIS isn't representing the entire entire thing, which it doesn't. You know, I mean, we know that it doesn't represent the entire thing, but you're going to come up with like a lot of those videos kind of talking bad against the actual ISIS thing and talking in favor for all this other kind of stuff. So they're actually like working in the algorithm to where you're not going to be able to find those extremely controversial videos. And instead, you're going to find these watered down, more along the lines of safe space type videos.
Exactly. And I mean, we can spend a whole episode talking about this. And does this mindset really help them, and how good will it be long term, and how are the creators reacting, and all that sort of stuff? We could spend a whole episode on it.
Mm-hmm.
The last I'll say about it is this, and then we can kind of move on to your week.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people, when they hear all this and they hear all this trouble or whatever, it's very easy for a lot of viewers, commenters, fans to be like, good, I'm glad your videos aren't making money through ads anymore. Now you have to do YouTube as a hobby. Now you have to do it as something that it should have been. Right, these are the people who think YouTube isn't a job, and so when they see YouTube coming down on all these creators, they're like, good, great, now you have to do it for fun. Now you can't just make money off of it. I'm glad. Here's the thing. If you have that mindset about YouTubers or whatever, watch how quickly the vast majority of them disappear because of that.
Yeah.
If this hits hard enough and it takes on enough people, watch how quickly a lot of your favorite content creators will just disappear off the map, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Watch how quickly the platform will just become back in the 2006 days of people just uploading random videos with no quality,
right?
With no production value, of just random crap. Picture it like Facebook video or Twitter video or whatever, like these new platforms where it's just randomness all around, and it's not highly produced stuff at all. Money, for better or worse, makes the world go round. Oh, and yeah. It makes YouTube a thing for a lot of people. And when you take that away, and when you take away your creativity, essentially, because that's what you're doing. You're not allowed to talk about controversial things. You're not allowed to mention certain topics. You're not allowed to swear at all. That stuff can be very limiting to your creativity and what you want to make. So even if they do stay on, those videos are going to suffer as a result, depending on the person. So I guess all I have to say is that this is a big deal. And if you're one of those people just being like, okay, good, I'm glad they're not making any money anymore, you really do have a closed mindset about the whole deal. And you really need to look into the other side of the coin and how this platform treats its creators and how these creators are having to adapt almost every single day just to bring content out to you. So when you start acting entitled like that, you're going to get a lot of flack for it. And I think rightfully so.
Right.
But that's it. That's my final thought on it.
Yeah, what's important to realize is that when you take some of the channels that are in the middle ground, you know, the 100,000 to a million subs that, you know, they can't live off of YouTube ad revenue, and maybe they were able to and now they're not because of these things that are hitting them. When you keep into account to where some of these people are already working regular jobs and then are doing this as a hobby, but now in order to make sure that they are still able to self-sustain the amount of money that they need to live off of, they're having to put in more hours every single week to make sure they have daily videos or two videos a day or whatever it is that it takes to make sure they're able to make the exact same money that they were currently, that they were making in the first place. So it's very important to realize that these content creators that are going to be driven away if these enforcements continue to be such a big issue, that right now they're in their survival stage. They're trying to survive. So they're losing countless hours of sleep. You know, they're probably stressed out of their mind. They're dealing with depression now. It's a lot of things where it's harming the individual because they're trying to make their hobby the thing that they love doing, the thing that they're obviously good at because they've gotten to the point where they were able to succeed off of it. It's turning that into a big stressor in their life that could, like, inevitably kill them if they keep trying to be in that survival stage.
Right. So, yeah, I just mentioned the whole financial side of things. You're taking it to, like, mental and physical strength almost to that point.
Yeah.
If that really is your livelihood. Right. And lucky for me, like, I got hit with this one thing, but, you know, I'm not stopping.
Right.
Posting videos out. I'm still going to request the review and hope that something good happens. I'm still going to keep working at it. But for some of those bigger channels, I'd imagine, if they're not already on Patreon or merch, they're in struggle mode right now, and I truly do feel for those people. So if anybody is going through this at all, or you're having your videos struck by the limited or no ads, just letting you know, you're not alone. Everybody else is going through it as well, and I encourage you to stay strong, and I encourage you to keep doing the thing that you love and not let the algorithm or bots or whatever get in the way of that. Keep posting videos, keep grinding, keep making your dreams a reality. It's sad and it's demoralizing for sure, but it's not the end of the world. You know, we'll make it through it.
Right. What's also,
it's a dark time.
What's also important to realize is that if you're a brand new YouTuber, which I mean, we talked a lot last week about how to, you know, whether you should start a YouTuber channel or not. If you are a brand new YouTuber, these aren't problems that you have to worry about until a couple months down the road. Once you hit that 10,000 view point, once you hit 10,000 overall views on your channel, then monetization starts becoming a thing that you can think of. But when you're like starting off fresh off, like we're going to talk about today, your first month on YouTube, this really isn't anything you need to worry about.
Sure.
Yeah. At least not now. Right.
Which is why we're not spending the entire podcast on it.
Right.
And rather this sort of short segment.
Right. Hopefully. I'm sure we'll have an entire episode at some point. Yeah.
But how was your week, Zach?
My week was interesting. Yeah. So as I mentioned last time, I started a brand new channel to kind of rebrand, refocus the things that I wanted to do on YouTube. So I was a gaming channel with a bunch of things about movies and TV shows, and I was doing all these different bigger production stuff. And then I recently made a brand new channel called Zack Snyder Productions, where I put these higher edited videos, podcasts, these types of things on this new channel. So if you're listening to this podcast, that's what you're listening to on, unless you're on iTunes or Google Play or anything. So this was the very first week where I kind of went into full schedule mode, where I was doing all the things that I said I was going to have up on schedule. Right. And it was interesting because last week I re-uploaded a bunch of stuff. Obviously, these things didn't get that many views because they were re-uploads. So the main people that already watched me had already seen them. Although I will say a couple of the Final Destination reviews that I did actually did okay in terms of views compared to the fact that people had already seen them. So I guess I brought in a couple new viewers there, which is cool. And then we had the episode zero of this podcast come up last Sunday. And then I did a Rick and Morty video. I did a Q&A video. We started a brand new roundtable podcast. And then the big thing that hurt me this week in terms of YouTube was that I just started back marching band stuff for college, and I have classes starting up next week. So my schedule just got substantially busier. So right. I didn't get out one of my movie reviews that I wanted to get out today as of recording. Instead, I ended up putting up like a trailer video that was a little shorter, a little easier to make. Have that daily uploads. But other than that, like the daily uploads have been happening. A couple of them didn't happen right on time, so time management's still a little bit of an issue in terms of that. But I think I'm on the right track to being successful with this channel.
Oh yeah, I think you are. What are you at? 31
subs, right? Yeah. And in less than it's been like a week and a half, so I think that's pretty good.
And not every video has done like successfully well, like you mentioned, but a couple of them did better than expected, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, I was surprised to see the first Final Destination recap got 36 views.
Yeah, right? That's almost as many as the one on the original channel got, except for it took a while for that to get up to that number on the other channel. So I'm very surprised that kind of gotten there big. Part of that,
so you're already kind of seeing the benefits,
right,
to starting it on a new platform.
Absolutely.
And on a new channel, rather, not a new platform.
One of the kind of difficulties that I've been having with this channel is because I don't have that subscriber base to where they're automatically getting notifications for my videos, I'm having to promote them a little bit more. So that's been interesting. I found some movie review like forums and Facebook groups, and I've been like shoving those videos over towards those different platforms. And I think that's how the Final Destination 1 review did so well.
You gotta tell people to ring that bell.
Yeah, you gotta tell people to ring that bell for sure.
You gotta ring that bell. Gotta hit that little notification bell.
Yeah. But I think,
I remember back in my day when it was just that you subscribed and you got videos.
Yeah.
Remember that?
back in the day, like a year ago? I guess it's probably been like 2 years at that point now. Yeah. I don't know. I like the bell.
Good time.
Honestly, I think the bell is a good notification system.
Sure.
As a viewer, I like it. As a creator, not so much.
Right. You're kind of having to ask people to not only, hey, sub, but also hit that bell.
And like, and leave a comment and share this with your friends, you know.
Right. It's like another thing that you're asking them to do on top of it.
Also, I have a t-shirt and Patreon. Just go do all the, it's
whoring them all out.
So I guess to resolve that issue, right? Cause that is an issue that we have as creators. We're having to ask our viewers a lot to do all these different things that they wouldn't do unless we ask them to. So make sure that as a creator, you have all those places easy for the viewers to watch. So having it all in your descriptions is really, really good.
Agreed. Yeah, you want to make sure that if you're telling people to follow a platform, that platform better be everywhere on your channel.
Yeah.
And easy to get to. Multiple ways to get to it.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. Having your subscribe button at the end of your videos with an end card.
Sure.
Something you should definitely do there. Yeah.
But yeah, other than marching band, had a pretty good week.
Yeah, other than marching band, which kind of sucked. It's been a pretty good week. I'm excited to see how the rest of the month is going to go because I'm premiering a couple of new shows. I think by having more of the Rick and Morty stuff out, that's going to bring more viewers. And then by once we get out of the whole Final Destination rut here and start getting into some new movies, I think that's also going to be a new way to get some new viewers.
Because you've been relying on re-uploads so far.
Right. Right.
So sort of once you get out of that territory.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
Oh, it'll definitely be interesting.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. But that, ladies and gentlemen, has been both my week and Zach's week on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. A little bit of crap on my end. Mm. A little bit of crap on your end. But overall, you know, fairly good. Aside from the whole ad thing. Anyway, why don't you go ahead and introduce our topic?
So our topic this week is how to survive your first month on YouTube. So basically, how to get your YouTube channel started, what are the things you should be looking out for, and just surviving, just, you know. Mm-hmm. It can be a little tough, but it's also not as bad as some people say it is.
Agreed. Basically, when we left off of the last one, the question, should you start, we were both like, yes. So if you're following along, now's the point where you've said yes, and then you're actually going to do it for a month.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? Now it's just, before it was just a word, it was just a promise. Yes, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Now this next month is sort of taking action and trying. There's going to be a lot of trying and experimenting, I think, in this phase that's going to be fairly interesting.
Absolutely.
Especially for that first month.
I kind of want to preface this topic with, by saying surviving your first month on YouTube, that almost implies that your first month is going to be successful. There's a lot of videos on YouTube where it's like, how to get 100 subscribers in a month, how to make money on YouTube in a month, all these kinds of things. Is it possible to do that in 1 month? Yes, absolutely. Does it mean you're going to make it to that part in a month? Not necessarily. No, so keep that in mind that results may very well vary.
Exactly. We're like the infomercial people.
Yeah.
We're gonna give you a product, but, you know, we're not saying that potato cutter will cut zucchini. You know, you gotta use it for its intended purpose. Mm-hmm. That analogy made no sense.
That's great.
That potato analogy peeler
and zucchinis
made absolutely no sense.
I mean, it's just making sure that even if you have the basics down, which we're going to be talking about today, even if you're consistent, which we'll be talking about today, even if you're promoting your stuff everywhere, which we'll be talking about today, like, these are the things, like, they're required to have, but it doesn't mean you're going to have the outcome that you're looking for yet. So what that means is you're surviving your first month. You also should be surviving your second and third month if you really want to do this. And then down the line, you should be doing this for a year. You should be doing this for 2 years. Like, it's about looking for the long game and just kind of to keep on pushing.
And we could have easily titled this first podcast, How to Thrive in Your First Month on YouTube. most people don't thrive is the issue.
No.
We didn't. Uh-uh. We certainly didn't.
No.
And I would argue the majority of people don't, unless you have those connections and unless you've made like 13 other channels beforehand. And this is attempt 14, and so you really know what you're doing this time.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, results may vary.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this. Month numero uno.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Which may not be the first of the month for you, depending on when you start your channel. It very well could be the 15th, you know?
Do you remember your very first month on YouTube? Like, not the channel you have, but the very
July
first.
July 20th.
I'm talking about, like, your very first month on YouTube. Completely.
Very,
like, when you first started your first channel. Do you remember that at all?
Oh,
I'm trying to think back on mine.
No, I don't think I can. When I started my very first one, Mr. Mario 952, I think it was with the idea of posting Let's Plays, but I never did.
Uh-huh.
And I think all in all, that channel only had about 40 or 50, maybe even less videos than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a small amount, point being.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but I can't remember Jack Diddley.
Yeah.
Blue Couch Productions, I know a bit more.
Right.
But that's recent.
Okay, so your first month on Blue Couch Productions, how did that go? Do you remember that at all?
Okay. Yeah, I do a good bit. So that was July 20th, 2017, was the very first month. And that was still when I was under the impression that I wanted to do a sort of skit comedy channel, almost.
Okay.
So the first two videos we're a series that I never continued called Expert Reviews, where I'm basically outside pretending to be a British rich gentleman trying to review a product, but doing it the expert way, trying to be 100% the best way to review a product. And of course, by expert, I meant I'm basically just an idiot fumbling around outside. So it really wasn't an expert review at all. That was the joke. That's why the word expert was in quotations. Anyway, the first month or so was dedicated to making those two reviews. And then toward the end of it, I believe, is when I started live streaming. But not like successful live streams. I'm talking like some of the early ones.
Right. Okay.
But that was all I did that first month.
Okay.
What about you?
So my very first month of YouTube, like you said, you started trying to do like a sketch comedy thing. Well, my very first channel was a music related channel. So I did a lot of music covers. And my very first month was back in, get this, June of 2011.
Hey.
Yeah, so that was 6 years ago. A little over 6 years ago. So
a little bit different than that.
My first month, I had, what's this, 2, 4, 6, I had 7 videos uploaded. And the views aren't bad right now because they're music related. So they turn out a little bit better than game stuff do. But right. I can't remember what the views were like when I first did it. I do know that the quality sucks. They were on a laptop webcam. I used the laptop mic for it. It was like most all piano stuff except for one trumpet thing. And I got a few dislikes. Yeah, because they were not
your
good.
First hater.
Yeah, I got a few dislikes on them. And nice. A few comments and stuff. I also got a chance to, like, these are the things where friends would watch, family would watch. So I right. think that's where I got, like, most of my views from them. But
you're
other than that.
Sharing them around your family.
Right, like, I didn't know what editing was. And then the first month on my gaming-related channel, I had this big idea to do this big, highly produced series and didn't really make any videos until I think I'm trying to think, let me go look right quick because that's the power of the internet right here. I can actually go back and see what those first videos looked like, but I think actually those videos aren't there anymore. I think I had started making Let's Plays just a couple of weeks after I had that idea to make that produce series. So I was doing very regular uploads, but again, had no idea what editing was, had no idea what an actual microphone looked like, like all these types of things, you know?
It was a very different time.
It was a very different time, absolutely.
Right.
So yeah.
But for you listeners at home, you don't have to go the route me and Zach did, you know? You have a little bit more advantages, bestowed to you, or maybe disadvantages, depending on how you look at it or where you're at.
Right.
But I guess let's just go ahead and get into it. Like, what sort of the things that need to be done within this first month? What are like the necessaries?
Right.
What are the have to do's? I guess.
So I guess for me, like the first thing that I would think of when before you want to make a YouTube channel is kind of figure out what you want to do with that YouTube channel.
Right.
So it's about, you know, finding out what your audience is going to be, what your topics video is going to be. And then are you going to be a niche channel or are you going to be a variety channel? And then go from there.
Sure. That's almost like before the month even starts.
Right. That's true.
Like this is stuff you could plan out ahead of time, which I recommend doing, by the way. Go
Absolutely.
Ahead.
Yeah.
Like if you want to wait a little while before actually starting and you just kind of want to plan some stuff out, like feel free to, just remember to start, I guess, too.
Yeah.
Just remember to actually put those plans in action is my deal.
Right.
Okay. So things that are kind of required, I'll start with that.
Okay.
The name, obviously you have to have a name for yourself.
Right.
And there's, I'm awful. I'm absolutely awful at coming up with names for things.
A channel and, with the word blue couch in it, I could never have guessed.
Right. Literally, the idea for the channel name was, as I was editing the first video, because I still didn't know what I wanted the channel to be called at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather wanted to make the video than come up with the channel name.
Which is good, honestly. Like, if you're so excited to start making videos, the name can be decided after you make that first video.
Yeah. But I was getting to the point where the first one was almost done and I wanted it up. And I'm like, oh, I kind of have to have a name now. Mm-hmm. So as I'm editing it, literally, I look over at my blue couch in front of me. And I'm like, what if I... And then I start looking up blue couch stuff and whatever. I'm like, all right, well, I can do some variety things. You know, I can do a whole bunch of stuff. The productions in Blue Couch Productions, that title, productions meant like skits, meant like scripted content. Nowadays, it just sort of means like I can kind of do whatever I want under this name. But back then, it actually meant like each video would be its own like huge production involved in it.
Like a John Tron or something like that.
Right. Like there would be a lot of, there'd be a ton of work involved and maybe a video would take like months depending.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I came up with the name. I literally saw my blue couch. I'm like, I'm sure many people don't have blue couch in their name and not a lot of people did. And I added productions to it and I'm like, good enough for me. And then uploaded that first video. It wasn't until later down the line that branding a name like Blue Couch Productions is a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I can imagine.
But I didn't think about that at the time. I just wanted a dumb and unique sounding name. So I'm like, all right, good enough for me. Post, done. But yeah, naming things. Holy cow. And I know people who spend months just trying to come up with a name, mm-hmm. You know? And I feel you. That stuff's hard.
So for me, when it came to naming my channel, my original channel, Sabijan, and then Sabijan Games, it's a funny story. In middle school, I was like working with a couple of my friends to try to write this book, like this collective book thing. And we had like this entire fantasy world and we were going to have these characters. And we were just like trying to figure out a name for this random character. It was like a lion. And I just came up with this random ass name, Sabijan. It was completely random, no origin or anything. I was just thinking of stuff and was like, okay, here's a name. And then that became my username for like a lot of things.
Right.
And so it was my username for my YouTube channel, my YouTube account, you know, when I was watching YouTube like 2 years before I had actually made the channel. And then that just became the name of the channel. And it just stuck when I made Sabijan Games. So yeah. So I didn't really put a whole lot of thought into it. It's original. It's so original because if you type it in, you don't see anything else but my stuff.
Right. So definitely fits.
Yeah.
Or as I used to call the name back in the day, Sabijan.
Yeah. Well, there's some other people.
It's actually Sabijan. You gotta get that E.
It actually could be a Japanese name because it's got the right like letters for it. So it could be Sabijan. Or like... It's really weird, but yeah. So you can go super, I guess the point here is when you're thinking of a name, have it something that like, it can be something that kind of describes who you are or what your channel is, or it can be just something super original. What you want to look for is see if anybody else has that name. And then if they don't have it, then you're good.
You don't want unfair competition or comparison to strike up simply based on your name. Mm-hmm. So if you can sort of distinguish yourself away from most everybody, then that's awesome.
Right.
But yeah, the name is the first important thing. Here's a couple of things that you shouldn't do with your name, actually. Numbers are a no.
Yeah.
Back in the day, like, everybody had the same name. So when you registered it, it would add a bunch of numbers to the end of it to be like, hey, you can still use this. And most people just stuck with it. However, like, you think Blue Couch Productions is hard to market. Try marketing a name with numbers in it. Holy heck. That just ruins things. So I think if you're starting a YouTube channel now and you're coming up with a name, try to avoid numbers. Try to avoid a lot of excessive symbols and stuff. Symbols are cool. I get it. But keep them away from your name.
Mm-hmm.
Also, kind of a little tip, the simpler it is, the better, because you know, you kind of want people to remember who you are after they watch your video. And so like With Zax, it's pretty easy because, like, there isn't no one called Sabijans. So, right, like, you remember the name. For me, mine is just simple enough to where you don't confuse it for anything else, you know?
Exactly.
You don't confuse my channel with, like, Blue Futon Productions. You know, that channel doesn't exist.
That's a channel idea right there.
Yeah, there's a channel idea. He's over there typing it down. But yeah, those are sort of the pitfalls that you fall into when coming up with a name. Avoid symbols, avoid names, avoid making it overly complicated if you can, and try to have it be memorable. Are my tips for that. Which is a hard thing to do, but yeah.
Right. Fun fact, when you type in Blue Futon Productions, Blue Couch Productions comes out as number 5.
Hey!
So
there you go.
There you go right there. And then Walmart comes up like 2 more down.
Get a little bit of shopping done.
Yeah. But you know? No, I definitely agree. Another thing to look out for is if you're going to be a gaming channel, it's probably best to not put the word game or gaming or games in your channel name. Just because so many people do it. Now, I do have one that has games in it, but I also made this channel 5 years ago. So it's a little different, but for the most part, if you can avoid putting games in it, you should probably do that.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And don't just copy a name either.
Right.
Don't have like your name be like JonTron whatever. Don't have your name be a reference to another channel.
No,
right?
Like, absolutely not.
The goal is to distance yourself.
Right. Another thing.
That's number one.
Another thing that I was just thinking of. So I recently made this new channel called Zack Snyder Productions. Guess what? There's a director named Zack Snyder with a K instead of an H. So when you typed in Zack Snyder Productions for a few days, you weren't able to see my channel at all. And you still can't see anything except for my channel trailer come up in the search results. So that's another thing to keep in mind. If you have a name that can be related to anybody famous or even a bigger YouTuber, you might not want to have that in your title either.
And all of that sort of comes down to research. Be sure you're looking at YouTube, you're looking on Google.
Right.
You're making sure that no matter what, your name will be able to stand up on its own.
Exactly. Fortunately for me, so the director, Zack Snyder, isn't too popular. Like, he is, but he isn't. So,
sure.
I think I'll be fine.
You're a bit lucky on that front.
Yeah.
Okay, so number two, you got the name down, right? You figured it out. You're like, I'm gonna go with this. What's the second thing? What do you think?
For me, it would be what kind of videos are you making?
Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
What's your plan here exactly? Sort of what step two is. Like, what are you actually gonna do? Right?
Mm.
And there's a billion different ways of doing it, right? Are you gonna do furniture reviews? Are you gonna do a fitness channel? Are you gonna vlog? Are you gonna do game related things? Like, what even are you gonna do? And it's up to you to kind of decide that.
Yeah, that's true.
And then once you have that topic, kind of, sort of, get down further into it, like dig down deeper, and figuring out what like niche in that big topic you can actually do well.
Right. And we can do an entire episode on niche versus variety, and I'm sure we will at some point in terms of your channel. But I think what's important here is for your first video, right? Because this is your goal, right? Before you get in the whole first month of YouTube, you want to make sure what that first video is, and then you want to start making sure you can make other videos that are very similar to it. Unless your first video is your channel trailer, which is another important thing.
Exactly.
But even then, you got to know what kind of videos are you going to make. And
right. What's something that you can actually legitimately manage to do for a month?
Exactly.
You know?
So ways to figure this out, ways to kind of figure out what you want your audience to be is, what are you interested in? What are you good at? And if you can find something you're interested in and good at the same time, then bingo. There you have it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
you find what interests you, what passions you, what gets you going.
Exactly.
And then figuring out how to turn that thing into content and making it consistently. Because
mm-hmm.
here's the thing. If your videos take like a month to make, then you probably shouldn't be doing them, right? Or at the very least, having easier stuff to make that can come out on your channel while also working on your big project.
Right.
But right, the point is that these big videos, you know, aren't the sole focus here. You have something to do, something to rely on.
Right, and it kind of depends. It really does depend. In the end of the day, what kind of content you make and how good it is going to be what determines your success. But since you're just starting out, since you may not have any video editing expertise or any expertise at YouTube at all or anything like that, the type of videos that you're making, you might not be able to make very well in a highly produced fashion. Because of that, if you're working on this big project 2 to 3 months at a time, or even a month at a time, then you really should be starting off with some smaller things to kind of figure out, you know, how to make videos and how to keep a consistent schedule and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree totally. My point was just sort of more along the lines of know your limitations. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Just being like, what can you actually manage to do versus what you want to do?
Right.
Right. If you want to make these big, long movie reviews, you know, if you can, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you can't, maybe start like doing like little 10-minute vlogs, you know, just sit in front of a camera and give your thoughts about a movie and then promise to do one like every week or every couple of days or whatever. Right. You're working your way up to that goal. But yeah, step number two, find what you want to do. What are you going to make videos about? What are you going to put out to the world?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, you can sort of figure out before you even get started. And the earlier, the better, I think. But some people kind of come into it. Some people kind of try out a couple of videos, realize, oh, that's not what I want to do, and then change their mind. You know, kind of like what I did there. So even if you think you know what you're doing, sometimes that can change depending on what comes up.
What's important to know is it can change. Your channel entirely can change, but since you're still so early on, that's okay. You can change within the first month. You can change within the first few months. So keep that in mind as you begin. You really just want to start experimenting with things, figuring out exactly what you do want to do before you start heading into the, okay, I've got to do this every single day for the rest of my life.
Yeah, don't let that get to you if you can.
Yeah.
All right, so that's one and two. We got name. We got what videos you want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
My three.
Mm-hmm.
My number three. I think it's important, at least early on, to try and establish a look for your videos.
Your brand.
And this, your brand, mm-hmm. pretty much. And this can mean several things. How your channel looks to others, you know, things like your logo, your channel art, whatever. That might be the impression that people get of your channel based on what that looks like. But that could also mean how your thumbnails look. That could also mean how your videos are edited and presented. That can also mean the little touches that you add. Like, establishing a look, a sort of theme
mm-hmm.
to where someone can come onto your channel and be like, oh, hey, cool video you got there. And then know that that's what your channel's about and what it does well. If you can get that connection early, I think that's huge.
I definitely agree. You want to make sure that everything kind of screams that this is your YouTube channel. You know,
right.
I like what you said about thumbnails and all that kind of stuff, because what's important to realize now is that when you're making YouTube channels in the current 2017 year and going onwards, is that everybody can have custom thumbnails right off the bat. Thumbnails are a thing that you have to make for your videos. So, and before you even start making them, you should try to figure out, you know, what font do I want to use? Do I, you know, is this going to be a series? Well, then maybe these particular thumbnails should look similar. You know, there's it's a lot of kind of bringing in some graphic art skills that you may or may not have. And you can go about it a bunch of different ways. But I guess the most important thing before we do an episode on thumbnails or whatever is that you want to find something that you can do fairly easily that still looks really nice.
Sure. If you can only use paint, if that's your only way of making thumbnails, like you don't know GIMP, you don't know Photoshop, you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Well, number one, try to be learning those programs. But number two, work with what you have.
Yes.
And be able to try to get something that's at least visually appealing. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to be perfect starting out. We've kind of mentioned this a lot, but you're sort of working your way to it. Mm-hmm. You know, my thumbnails back in the day don't look like how they do now, right? They have a similar theme, right? And they look kind of similar to each other, but it's evolved a lot.
Same.
It's evolved from month to month to month, you know? What was a logo for 1 month might change into the next one. You sort of figure out what your channel both is, you know, what videos you do, what you produce, but what it looks like to other people as well, how it visually looks, how it distinguishes itself. So I think step number three, kind of establish a look for your channel. And to kind of break that down a little bit more, I'll kind of put it in like little bullet points. Mm-hmm. Channel icon, channel art, thumbnails, and if you want to do any like little things in your videos, that's cool, like little editing things or little visual things, that too. But those are the four, I think. Right. You can add on top of that, and you can do a little bit more if you want to, but those four things are crucial, I think. And the earlier you can get it done, the better. And if you have to rely on somebody to do it for you, then that's fine. But when I started Blue Couch Productions, I didn't think I could do any of this, you know? Mm. And it was only like a couple of tutorials later where I'm like, oh, you can do that with this free program? Sure, I'm down. And then it was just a matter of figuring it out. And it took a couple of months, but I eventually was able to.
Right. I guess, too, I kind of want to add on those bullet points. I think another thing is important is to have your end screen. So at the end of a video, there's typically an outro on a bunch of bigger channels to where you can see their channel and then a couple of other videos that they've made. YouTube makes it super easy where you can add an end screen to the end of your video to where you can have these functions available. So you kind of have to make the like final image that the person sees at the end of the video. Now, this also, it really does depend on what kind of videos you're making. Your video might absolutely necessarily need an intro, and you might need a 5-second intro. Well, if you need it to introduce your series, then do it, but make sure that it's kind of, in a sense, professionally made. It's not just something you've downloaded somewhere to upload. But if you're making like a gaming channel and you're just doing Let's Plays, you don't really need an intro. You know, you can just go straight into the video.
Sure. And that's why I mentioned it after step two.
Right.
Is you really can't begin to define your look until you know actually what you're going to do and what your name is.
Right.
Because your name is super important for branding, and so is the kind of content you're going to do. Right? You can't start with step three and then try to do one and two afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of have to...
Agreed.
You kind of have to do it after the fact. So
agreed.
That's my step three.
I also I wanted to add on one more thing. You mentioned about like programs like Paint or GIMP or Photoshop. So those that need to make their logo, that need to make their thumbnails, anything like that, what I would highly recommend that's going to make you, it will make you a better creator. Maybe not in the next month, maybe not in the next year, but on like later on down the line, I would highly recommend at least getting GIMP because it's free. I didn't know this was free until recently after I had been using Paint for so long and then finally stepped up to paying for Photoshop. But at least get GIMP, which is entirely free. You can look up tutorials and all that kind of stuff. And if you can't afford it, don't do this unless you absolutely want to make like videos and stuff your hobby for a long time. Get Photoshop, and there's hundreds, thousands even of tutorials on YouTube where you can just type in, how do I make a thumbnail? How do I make a logo? All this kind of stuff. And you can figure it out right off the bat. Because my logo, I had seen something on YouTube about how to turn a real picture into like a kind of a characterization type thing. And so I figured it out and then made it. I don't recommend buying any kind of logos from anybody online. Maybe if you have a good friend that dabbles in artwork graphically and can help you with that, sure. But I think the more that you can do early on, it's going to be extremely beneficial later on when you're trying to do more advanced things.
Sure. It's sort of a skill that'd be beneficial to pick up. Sort of a trade that will help you down the road and early on as well.
Agreed.
Depending on how quick you pick it up. But yeah, we got your name. We got what you're doing. You kind of established a brand of some form or fashion. Again, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be this wondrous thing. As long as there's something there.
Right.
That's sort of what we're getting at here, is having something there. What would be four for you?
I would say start making the video. So start recording it.
Sure.
Unless you got something that you think is more important before then.
The thing that I was going to go to afterward was I think it's fairly important early on to have that about section filled out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And I think it's something easy to do early on that really, once you have it set up now, you don't have to worry about it later.
Right. So what would you recommend people putting in their about section on their channel?
Okay. Let me get into my little tirade about the about section. A lot of people, from what I hear, when I tell people to fill out their about section, they're like, oh, what's the point? Like, no one reads it. It's pointless. It doesn't add any value. Like, why even go through the hassle of doing it? Well, your about section is, aside from your channel trailer, the first impression that you make to everybody.
Agreed.
That goes on your channel. You know, they see your channel trailer. They see all that. That's cool. But if you don't have one, for one, or if they skip it and go to the about section, your about section is sort of your first impression in written form. It tells you everything about yourself. It lets you know who you are, what your goal is. And if you have links to anything, then that's where you put it as well. You get your social medias and stuff. And here's the other thing, too, that a lot of people don't realize. You may think that the about section is unimportant or whatever, but I find that a good way to open up yourself to opportunities, things like collabs, things like sponsorships or whatever, having an about section is important because your email is there. And it's the easiest way for people to get to your email.
Right.
Like, what if somebody wants to contact you and they don't want to do it through the comments or they don't want to do it through messaging? Well, gee, how am I going to figure that out if your about section is empty? How am I supposed to figure that out? Right, so having that there, having things like your email, having things like who you are and what you do, having things like links is beneficial. It keeps everything nice looking. It keeps it organized. It makes a great first impression. It opens yourself to opportunities. And for something that only takes 20 minutes to do, the amount of reward you get from it is insane. But people want to pass up the opportunity. They're like, no, I don't want to do it.
It's a waste of time. No, I absolutely agree. I think it's very important. One of the things that YouTube used to do, which I really liked back in the day, was have that messaging function, which you still can do, but it's almost hidden. Like, I know where it is, but nobody uses it at all, right, which really sucks because I used to rely on it. So now, you know, in order to get in contact with YouTubers I don't know that I want to do collabs with, it's either going through a comment on a video, which if the YouTuber is small enough, that's cool. But then if not, then it's finding their email address or going to their Twitter, going to their Facebook. And how do I get all these links? I have to go on their channel in their about page or in their description in a video of a video. So it's just important to have it in that about page because people do look.
People do look. I look.
Yeah.
One of the first things I look at when I see a new channel is their about section, because it immediately tells me several things. How much do they care?
Mm-hmm.
How can I contact them? How many platforms are they at? When did they join? How many, you know, like,
right.
It tells me a lot of different things. I get a lot of facts from that about section that I, you know, maybe couldn't learn in videos or maybe I would have to watch multiple videos to figure it out. Here's a good analogy, I think, for the about section that would put it in greater understanding with people. Not having an about section is like going to apply for a job without a resume.
That's good.
You can do it. It's a possible thing to do. But why not make sure that you're in the best position possible by filling out a resume or the about section and putting your best foot forward, you know, making a good impression. Anyway, as far as what to put in the about section, I've kind of already mentioned this before. For the little section that tells you to fill out an email, put that there. You can make your own email account, or you can use a separate one, or you can use the same one. However you want to do it, just make sure it's there. Make sure you have the country filled out. And then as far as everything else goes, links are one big part of it. So if you have any social medias, if you have any things that people want to go to, put those links in. And then the second big part of it is a little paragraph that you put right at the start that just gives a basic overview of who you are and what you do. You want it to be short, you want it to be concise, and you want to be sure that there aren't that many grammar mistakes either way, because again, this is giving the first impression of you in written form. So mine, for example, says literally this: "Hi there, I'm Aiden of Blue Couch Productions. On this channel, I focus on making a variety of different content. I produce Let's Plays, vlogs, skits, and even streams. Be sure to check out all the links below and share this channel with a friend. Thanks for stopping by." That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I gave you my name. I gave you my channel name. I gave you what I do on the channel, a little call to action to check out the links below and share it, and then said thanks. That's it. That's all I needed.
But Aiden, PewDiePie has the most subscribers, and his about page literally just says, "I make videos."
Boy. You ain't PewDiePie. This comparison needs to stop because you're not the person himself.
Agreed.
He can literally do anything.
Yeah.
And not be held accountable for his actions because of it. Because he's the number one YouTuber. You think you can? At the very bottom, you're out of your mind.
His logo is literally a picture of Link from the 90s cartoon with a red squiggly square on top of it.
Godly.
He has his Google Plus link as the only link you can find. That's it.
Google Plus, my dudes.
His email address, I don't even think is real.
Oh, that's CDI link.
Yeah, okay.
It's this little Wanda Gamelon.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Ugly CDI link.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's great. But yeah, so you're about... I'd add a couple of other good things you can put in your about page that are kind of optional. Is your schedule. If you are making scheduled content, whether it's on a weekly or a daily basis, I think it's cool to let your fans, your viewers know that. So I have that on mine. I also mentioned the fact that I will have new videos every single day. And then I provide the time that it's going to be on. And then another thing that a lot of people used to do, still some people still do it, is they put little goals. So like, here's the day I reached 100 subscribers. Here's the day I reached 1,000 views. Things like that. You don't have to do this. And not a whole lot of people do this anymore. But if you're looking for something else to put in there, that could be a nice little way to show people that, yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm making consistent content, but I'm also concerned about, you know, being successful at this. So here's what I've already reached. Here are my future goals.
Sure. It's like in a resume, you list your accomplishments and your skill set.
Exactly.
Right. So you're like, hey, I was able to reach 100 subs. Again, I don't see too many people doing that, but it's cool when it happens.
Yeah.
I like seeing people do it.
Mm-hmm. I used to, no matter. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So I used to put the Let's Plays that I had finished. So back on my gaming channel, I had an entire list of all the Let's Plays I'd finished, all the Let's Plays that I was currently doing, and then just a couple that I was going to be doing in the future. Once this list became way too long to put in my about section, I scrapped it, but that's what I used to do.
Cool.
Yeah.
My thing was, the point to all of this was just to be like, you can overdo your about section if you want to, that's cool. Mm-hmm. The point is that you're doing it. You know? Yeah. Don't not do it. But, you know, put in a good bit of thought. putting a good bit of effort into it, because again, it'll pay off down the road.
Exactly.
It's sort of a little seed that you're planting for later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think with that covered, I mean, you could do things like list channels, suggested channels on the side, but that really isn't necessary. Right.
I guess one of the things discussion that kind of goes with about is making sure that you do have social media links. So, I mean, I'd say undoubtedly you need a Facebook, you need a Twitter, and then you need an email address that people can kind of connect with you. There's other social media that I'd suggest getting if you're really deep into it, but I think Twitter and Facebook are super important, and then that email address.
All right. Yeah, I have a link to the Discord, a link to Facebook, mm-hmm. Patreon, email, Google Plus, just because why not?
Right.
YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, multi-streaming with Restream, and then Mixer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's all the little separate links I have. I agree with you wholeheartedly. The important ones, though, are that email, Twitter, and Facebook. I think just starting out, you could do okay with just one of them, per mm-hmm. se. Like, just picking one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then getting the other one later.
I agree.
Because that might be, like, a little too much overloading. But getting both eventually, I think, is a good thing.
Right. I definitely agree. So after that, you basically have your channel set up.
Right.
The only other thing I can think of is descriptions. So one of the things that YouTube allows you to do in its settings is have a default subscription that you can go ahead and put your social media links in. And you can go ahead and put thank you for watching, don't forget to subscribe, that kind of stuff. mm-hmm. So if you want to go ahead and set that up, you can as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm not sure where it's at, but it's, I think somewhere in Creator Studio where you can just go ahead and have that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just get little like default descriptions or whatever. It's kind of tight.
Yeah, it works. And it's a nice little thing to let people know that, you know, you've got your stuff together. Okay, I found it.
Go to Creator Studio and then channel, and then it says upload defaults. Mm-hmm. And this can do a couple of things. Privacy, you can set category, you can set license, you can have titles, and then the description.
Cool.
Is all there. So, yeah, there you go. You're all good to go. All
right.
So that's the setup for the most part of how that all stuff works. Mm-hmm. Now we kind of get... Well, actually, let's do a little recap real quick. Just have everything there. Number one, name. Whoa. Okay. Number one, name. Number two, what kind of videos are you making? Have that figured out. Number three, establish a visual brand for yourself. Doesn't have to be great starting out, but doing things like having channel art, doing things like having thumbnails, doing things like learning Photoshop or GIMP, or if you don't know them, try with Paint. Four, set up your about section. And five, I guess, is sort of an optional one, is if you want to go ahead and get real ahead of the game, do your little upload defaults. And six, not optional, get yourself some social medias.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself an email, get yourself either a Twitter or a Facebook, or if you feel confident in doing both right away, then go for it. But those are six so far.
Right. Would you go ahead and recommend people to get a Discord?
I think it's best to do that once you have a community. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, if you're fairly confident in yourself that you're going to have one.
Right.
Setting it up early would save a good bit of time.
Right.
Or just setting it up early and not having anyone there for a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
trying to build that.
Right. Just making sure that it's available. I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's best with anything that bigger YouTubers, quote unquote, bigger YouTubers do. I don't think it's ever too early to have those things set up. As long as those are not your primary focuses, right? Like, having some kind of merchandise thing up, as long as you're very solid with your logo, sure, go ahead and have it set up. Having a Patreon, as long as you plan on doing this for a little while, sure, go ahead and have it set up. But don't expect for people to go ahead and start getting on those things until much later.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, however much pre-planning you want to go ahead and put into this, that's cool, right? If you want to go ahead and get a Patreon set up, if you're a gamer and you know you want to stream, having a Twitch set up is a cool mm-hmm. idea. if you want to get more community involvement early on, try to maybe doing a Discord, right? Like, the more of the stuff you can set up, the better. But with all that being said, we kind of come down to the final part of just making videos.
All right, the most important thing.
The most important thing above all else. You know, you can have a crappy name, crappy channel art, no about section, you know, barely any social medias at all, nothing other than videos. And if you get the video part right, you can do well. Mm. So yeah. That's sort of the focus, really.
So it's your first month on YouTube and you just started today. You have all that stuff set up. Now you've got to make a YouTube video. Now you got to upload one. What do you think in making the YouTube video, what's the most important things that you should focus on? That's the question.
That's a good question.
We got to answer now.
Right. Like what goes through your process when you're making the video?
Yeah.
It kind of depends on what content you're doing, I believe, for the most part.
It does.
But I think like there's just a couple of overall things that sort of apply to everybody. If you're speaking in the video, which you probably are, or you should be.
No text
not
tutorials?
Not stumbling over your words. Yeah, text tutorials are long dead, or I hope they are.
They're not, unfortunately. People still do them.
They're not engaging.
I know.
They're not engaging. There's no point. It's a rant for another
Anyways.
Day. But if you're speaking in videos, it's kind of important to have a focus going into it. So this means doing things like either having a script or an outline and being able to deliver your point in a concise fashion where you're not uhing all the time, eyeing, stopping. Stopping is a big one. People just stop. Rambling on for a good period of time or whatever. And you know what? Some people can do those things. But typically those people have to do more work later down the road in editing, trying to clean it up.
Yeah.
So it could save you a good bit of time if when you're filming your video that you're just concise to begin with. That way later on, if you're maybe not the best editor, you won't have to worry about all that because you got it right the first time.
I agree. Going along with that.
But yeah, that's an overall tip.
If you're one of those people that are kind of shy, not outgoing, you're trying to get into the making of the YouTube videos and that sounds like an impossible task, don't harp on it too much. Again, like you said, you can edit it later on down the road. It just is nice if you're able to kind of get into that public speaking mindset because you are speaking to the public through videos, depending on what you're doing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly on that. You're presenting something.
Right.
Whether you're presenting a game or you're presenting yourself or you're presenting a topic or whatever, you still have to present it and you still have to do your best to make sure that whatever video you're doing has some sort of flow to it, right? It doesn't jump from point to point randomly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I get with vlogs that can kind of be tough, but even vlogging, there's sort of a flow to your everyday routine.
Right.
Right? You don't eat breakfast and then eat dinner before lunch. Right? Like, there's order in your day. In the same fashion, there should be a bit of order placed in your videos on how you go about doing things. How you go about doing a game review or how you go about doing a Let's Play. What am I going to accomplish in this episode? What am I going to strive for? Am I talking about a topic? Do I need to get an outline ready? Do I need to discuss points? Do I need to bring up common criticisms? Whatever it is, having that presentation concise and clear above all else, I think helps. Especially if you're just starting out. Holy cow.
I think one thing that helps is looking at your favorite YouTube channels. And in a sense, not copying what they're doing, but emulating it. Looking at the way they present information. Look at the way they're doing comedy. If it's vloggers, you know, looking at the way they edit things and the way they kind of put things in a storytelling element and figuring out how you can do somewhat the same type of energy or atmosphere in your own videos and then doing that.
Right, kind of almost taking that style and adding your own little twist,
right,
if you will.
And I think just starting out, you know, a lot of your early videos are going to be emulations of other people. You're going to be inspired by, most likely when you want to do YouTube, you've been inspired by somebody else to do YouTube. And so you look at their videos and you kind of figure out, you know, what it is that they like to, you know, that they're doing and how you want to do this. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's different. You're kind of, you know, taking their styles and working your own way, your own originality into it. You're not going to have fully original content for a while. And that's okay. But it's just important to make sure you're not copying people as well.
Yeah, you're not just straight up ripping mm-hmm. people off.
Right.
You're kind of, at the very least, adding some sort of spin mm-hmm. to it, you know. Whether it's a good one or a bad one, whatever, just so long as it's unique and you grow from it, then by all means, go for
right.
it. That's important. I think another thing that helps, and this might get into a little bit of the controversial territory, maybe not,
mm-hmm.
Consistency.
Yeah.
I think is huge. Now, for some people, consistency means daily uploads. For others, it can mean having one video come out a day a week, you know? But however you define consistency, whether it's having a schedule or whether it's just doing the one thing at the specific time, however loose or strict you want to be with the word, the point is that you're being consistent. And by having that consistency, it allows an audience stable ground, stable foundation to be able to watch and enjoy those videos.
Right.
If you're just posting random stuff at random times with no set or order to anything, then people are going to be confused. People are going to wonder, like, what's even the goal here? Right? You're just posting out whatever comes out and we're just supposed to expect it. You know, that can be kind of detrimental to just starting out and being like, oh, I don't need an audience. I'm just going to post stuff and then whatever sticks to the wall will stick, mm-hmm. you know?
Well,
even by that philosophy, the majority of your videos aren't going to do that well. And even when one does, how would you know how to capitalize on it? Because you're not consistent. You know?
I'd say looking past the scheduling thing at first, like the scheduling in terms of consistency that way, you want to make sure that, like you said, just posting a bunch of random videos, it's not going to help. You want to have a consistent way that you're making videos. So if you've decided today that your channel is going to be about beauty, you're going to be a beauty channel, then you need to make sure that all of your videos you upload for the next month are a beauty related. And while they don't all have to be the same format, making sure that some of them are in the same format and making sure that, you know, they all kind of have your same personality. If one day you're really angry at something and you just have this video dedicated to you sounding angry while you're doing a review, and then the next day you just seem like you're the sweetest human on the earth, you're not portraying yourself as well as maybe you could have in the first place. So making sure there's that consistency in your content first off, and then making sure that consistent schedule is kind of put there later.
Sure. And I get that can be hard starting out because you're trying a lot of things, you're experimenting, you're expected to do a lot of things in the first month, and we've kind of pushed that across, you know, having an about page, having social medias, having channel art, having a content knowing what content you want to do, and then actually doing it and keeping it consistent on top of that, like, holy cow, that's a lot of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. But no one's expecting you to do it perfectly that first
time. Right.
You know? No one's expecting you to be the master of all of those things. What we're saying here is that you put an effort toward all of these things.
Absolutely.
Is that you make a visible attempt to try. And so long as you're doing that, you know, we think you're doing a good job for your first month. You know?
Right. Because when it comes down to scheduling and all that kind of stuff, and even in this first month, you might not even figure out exactly what you want to do with this channel. Like I said earlier, it could very well change in the next few months. That's why you're using this time to experiment. Because guess what? When you do become big, well, if you become big, slash when you do become big, that consistency is the most important. And so that's, you know, it's one of those things where it's nice to be in that habit early on. That way, if or when you do make it to that point where you're becoming a successful YouTuber, whatever success means to you in this situation, then you'll have that schedule set up. You'll have that consistency and format. People, when they go to your channel, they'll know exactly what they're expecting to see.